strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 8th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here today. Maggie, how are you doing, Maggie?
Hey, Taryn, I'm good. I'm super excited that we have Big Brother back. It's looking like it's going to be a really fun season. I really, really like the cast, so I'm excited to talk about it today with you.
Yes, we are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 9 in the house, and we had some movement. We had some talk of maybe flipping. Without even having an actual nominee on the block yet.
I mean, it's always fun when the majority alliance has so much power that a replacement nominee hasn't even been named and they're just like playing around with what they can do and what their options are. Yes. But also, you know, it's really fun for us because we get to sort of see all of the little dynamics at play. And I feel like yesterday I got a really good handle on who some of these players are, what they're about, what they could possibly do in the game. And it's exciting. It's exciting. And there's a lot of people in the cast who are really different. I feel like, for example, LaToya is like really unlike a lot of players we've ever seen before. She's like the mold of the alpha female. But a lot of times I feel like in Big Brother, our alpha females are very like rooted in their femininity. So like we get people like Janelle and Rachel, but like LaToya is all business. And it's really, really fun to watch her sort of navigate through these dynamics with that sort of like alpha personality type.
Yes, it's definitely like we have the makeup of the majority alliance is very different than what we would normally get. Typically, we've got either like a bro alliance or some kind of like, you know, young, pretty person alliance. Mm-hmm. But we really do have a mixture here in the majority where there is the, you know, quote unquote, older crowd, as well as two like big bros, and then you've got like Beth,
all right, we'll talk about Beth later.
Yeah,
I need to hear your thoughts on Beth because I don't know. I don't know about her yet. I'm still a little confused as to what she's doing, why she's doing it. I don't know.
We'll talk it through. We started the day with Victoria actually was talking to Beth. And Victoria is also somebody who is very interesting in the game. I'm not entirely sure what she is doing in the game. She seems to be enjoying it. But
I'm going to be honest. When the first episode happened, I was like, people are not going to like Victoria because I think that they're going to think she's grating. But I love her so much. That clip of her in the shower, I was watching with a group of people and I was cracking up and they were all sort of like, and I was just laughing so hard. I really, really enjoy her. I think that she's so fun. She really wants to be there. She really wants to play. But you're right. She's sort of lost. She's just like really excited that to be there, I think. And she's like, I'm ready to play Big Brother. But she doesn't know how to channel that into actual strong gameplay. But I'm rooting for her. I hope she gets there. I really like her.
Yeah, I mean, she's very much like the kind of like the lost puppy who is like just looking for a home. Like, hey, like I'm ready to play. Like let me in. So far, no bites for Victoria. But I think if she lasts long enough, I think she's agreeable enough. I don't think people dislike her for anything. So I think that she could get in. I think her main problem right now is just socially, and she tends to reveal a lot of information. That's one of the primary reasons why nobody's trusting her with anything.
That would be really hard for me, too, because she seems like the perfect person for someone to scoop up because she's so affable. She's so likable. Like, you never have to worry that, you know, she's going to be, you know, annoying in the house. I think that she's like so fun to be around, like she would be really fun to be around. But the problem is that she does talk way too much and it would be really tough as like a player who's trusting her with information to, you know, watch her go around and not be in a panic all the time that she's telling people all of the stuff you just told her, because she does do that.
Yeah. So that's what she's doing with Beth early in the day. She's talking about how she just kind of volunteers that she's not feeling great about Tara and Tina, and that she'd probably put them on the block or something if she won the HOH, which Beth is going to spread around to the Sunsetters. And they feel good about that. They're like, great, we'll just get out Tara. But still, they do talk about like, yeah, she keeps asking us to be in an alliance with her, but she just talks all the time. She just reveals all this information. Like, she's not somebody that we can tell anything to. We can't be in an alliance with her. She'll tell someone about it.
And it's true. Like, unfortunately for my girl Victoria, like, it's true. She can't keep her mouth shut. But Beth is actually, this is why I get confused about Beth, because she's going around telling everybody all of this stuff that, and she's sort of like, I kind of want her to win. And it's like, okay, but why are you saying that when one of her nominees would be LaToya, and that can easily get back to her? And LaToya is not going to like that. Like, LaToya already doesn't like Victoria. Like, you should just put that information out there. Be like, okay, well, we would be, you know, okay, because you could get out Tara, and leave it at that. You don't need to the rest of the day, 5, 6, 7 times, be like, I kind of want her to win. Like, I kind of am into the idea of what if she won. It's like, girl, stop. Just leave the information. You're doing too much. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, she's also going to talk. Beth is going to talk with Austin and Brayden. She's talking again about sort of LaToya. You know, it's again, there's a lot of talk throughout the day of like, man, why are people continuing to link LaToya, Jed, and Ty together? Beth is definitely a huge part of it. I don't know if she started it, but it certainly seems like she did. And it seems like she's the one that continues to perpetuate it. And then also is the person warning them about it. So this is definitely continuing to go on. But she's part of this conversation with Austin and Brayden. And Austin mentions that she would also like Victoria to win next week. That would be great. Man, if Victoria backdoored LaToya, that would be amazing. I don't want LaToya on the jury. If she's on the jury, she'll be the jury. So wouldn't it be great if somebody backdoored her?
I can't. And we haven't even, there is a nominee coming off the block. There is, you have not named a replacement nominee. You have the perfect opportunity. And I don't know if LaToya could be saved this week. You make a power move like that, I think that you can rally enough influence and enough people on board. Obviously, there's a lot of priming that would need to be done beforehand that Austin has not been able to do. But it's just really frustrating because I like Austin and Brayden a lot. Like, I really want them to get with it, but it is really scary. And, you know, when I watch the early days of Big Brother, I think about if I were to play, how I would handle the situation, because the situation Austin's in is scary. She has a lot of power at the beginning. If she mishandles it, she could easily be a target. So she's making the choice to do less so that she doesn't accidentally mishandle her power. But unfortunately, what she doesn't realize is that by doing less, she's essentially like enlarging the target on herself, because she's not getting influence in the house. She's not, you know, leveraging her position. And I know you've talked about this over the past few updates, but it's really like, I think that you, or maybe Matt said this, like, you think that you're going to make sure you don't get in trouble, so you don't do anything. But in fact, you're getting yourself into more trouble, not outwardly, but like, you're going to be in trouble either way, whether you say something dumb or whether you have no influence. So you might as well just try.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it also, it's very dependent on what your position is in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, you can afford to sit back. Like, Kiefer is also somebody who is not doing a lot to further his position in the game. He is trying to some degree, but he's very comfortable where he is for the most part. And he's probably not going to be, you know, in a major power position anytime soon. But that's a lot more understandable for Kiefer, who is well entrenched in the power structure of the house, than it is for Austin, who is very much on the outs. In fact, many people are targeting her. Kiefer, in fact, is actually targeting her as early as next week and trying to push others to do so as well. And she should be able to recognize that if she had, you know, a sense of where she was in the game, what happened last week. Just the fact that she's HOH and barely anyone talks to her about strategy should be a major signal, especially for somebody who is a fan of the game. So I think it's the fact that she's not in a good position that is that, like, you need to be doing something if you're not in the position where you can just coast.
She doesn't see it that way, though, because the cool kids are talking to her, right? They like her. They have a good relationship with her. So she just doesn't see it like that. Like, she is very young. She's like 2 years younger than me, I think. And she's 23. And I think that she, of course, as a fan of the game, should know this. But she's looking around and she's seeing Jed, Ty, Beth, all of these cool kids want to hang out with her. They want to sit with her in her HOH room. They want to talk about her snacks and talk about her family. And they are flirting with her and they're all hanging out and she gets to hang out with Brayden. So it does not feel like she's in present danger, because to her, it's not all about the game talk. I feel like a lot of times young people in Big Brother think that because they're friends with people that they will be protected. Like, I think that the biggest example of that is Brittany in season 12. She was like, well, I'm friends with Lane. I'm friends with Matt. I'm friends with, you know, like, these are my friends. I'll be fine. They like me. They want to keep me around. But while you're thinking, well, I'm being friendly and nice and everybody likes to be around me, there's very serious gaming happening behind your back that you're not privy to. And I think it's sort of like the Estee of it all, too, that happened in Big Brother Canada 7. Like, I feel like a lot of times young people are sort of fall into the trap of like, well, I'm cool, I'm friendly, it's fun, we're hanging. And then they just get completely left in the dust.
Yep. They tend to not be as game focused as somebody who has maybe a little bit more experience, a little bit more knowledge about friendships. You know, they're great. They're great.
Someone said a network for 15 years who has a LinkedIn account would be like, you have to give them a reason to hire you other than them liking you.
Yeah. And here's another like great example from this conversation. Austin is like, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, like, who will go up next week? That's the thing. I don't know who people would put up. It's like, you don't know who people would put up. Exactly. You are out of the loop. You have no information. You're flying blind in a house of people who are doing their own thing. And you have not even tried to figure this out. You're just kind of sitting here, you know, as your power is about to expire, wondering, wait a minute, what's going to happen next week?
Yeah, at least someone like Tara, who is probably just as out of the loop as Austin, is like desperately trying. Mm-hmm. And Tara gives me, like, not in a bad way, so don't like associate the negative connotation with it, but Tara gives me like super strong Christmas vibes, where she's just like ready to play. She's ready to be a part of a team. Like, she's a little like socially not like in, but she didn't give anyone incentive early enough, like Christmas did, coming in like jacked, where they're like, we need to work with her. So she's she's just like a little bit out, but she's super awkward in all of her conversations, but she's at least trying desperately to get information out of people. Like, she'll walk into a room and be like, is it okay if I come in and talk to you? And the people will be like, sure, yeah. And she's like, so I just wanted to check in, see where you are, what you're thinking. Like, I've heard this, and try and like offer a nugget of information. And then she gets like complete non-answers from people. Like, complete, like, Beth's go-to thing when she's trying to give a non-answer to anyone is like, well, I would just have to talk with everybody and go off of those conversations if I won. Like, that has to be, if I was in the Big Brother house and I was getting told that week two, I would be like, oh no, like, there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at least Tara's trying.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She's not trying great. This honestly wasn't even that big of a deal. So it wasn't part of the main narrative, but just side story for Tara is that, she's going to approach Austin and suggest, hey, if you want to make sure that Josh goes, maybe throw up a Jed or something. Jed would be totally safe. And it's like, whoa, be careful with that. Then she goes and tells Beth and Jed and them, Yeah, I threw out Jed's name because I was like, hey, I mean, if you want Josh to go for sure, throw up Jed.
Not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way.
I didn't throw out your name in a bad way.
And it doesn't, and what I'm saying, it doesn't matter because they didn't even care. Like,
which is the example to me that Jed is not as strong of a player as he may be on the outside, we could like worry that he could be, right? Because Cody Calafiore, that happens to him, you're gone next week. You don't throw out Cody's name, right? Like, and Jed, who is sort of the same archetype, is sort of like, yeah, it's fine, like, oh, you're my target now as a joke, but that will never be brought up again, and it hasn't been brought up throughout the day. And it's just very I'm really excited for us to sort of get into the alliance, because I think that there's like a lot of room for excitement this season, and I want to sort of talk about it. But yeah.
All right. So Beth and Ty are going to chat outside. We're still in the morning, guys. She's telling him about the conversation between Austin and with Austin and Brayden. And she, as you said, lets him know that she's kind of hoping for a Victoria HOH because she'd put up Tara and Tina, and then they could easily sway it so that Tina stays. She also asks Ty, like, hey, go to Jed with everything I tell you. He's like, no, not at all. I am not loose-lipped at all. And this is something that Ty has done a few times with his allies, is that he seems to be very open about how much he is closed off. That makes sense. He tells Toya, like, yeah, if you see me being friendly with people, I'm just playing them. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm here for the game. I'm like, why are you telling her that? Like, that's, she's going to remember that. And mm-hmm. he tells Beth, like, I don't say a word, to anyone. And like, how much does Ty tell Beth? Not that much. I but you know, also, it's those little moments.
I do think though, well, first off, I have a lot of thoughts about like both Ty and Jed, because just like objectively, they are so handsome. So you are going to be attracted to wanting to work with them. Sorry, it's just the truth. It's a fact. People want to work with pretty people automatically. It's what happens. So yeah, like, you know, that's why Jack got a big alliance around him in Big Brother 21. And then everybody realized he was horrible and didn't want to work with him anymore. But both Jed and Ty are like lovely people and very funny to be around and like super charming. And I think that the best thing, like, I actually don't have as much of a problem with Ty being as open with people about that kind of stuff, because it's the sort of thing where it's like, oh, except with you. Like, I don't tell anybody anything except you. I don't care about anybody except you. Like, if you see me being friendly, it's just because I'm playing them. I would never tell them that I'm playing them. I'm telling you that because you're the person that I'm actually with. And I actually feel like if I was in the situation getting that information, I would be like, oh, great. Like, we're in this together. Like, I'm the perfect target for Ty. Like, we'll be in a final two, you know? So I actually don't hate that strategy at all. Because I think that people in Big Brother actually really resonate with a little bit of honesty. That's what draws people to them. I think that Tyler did that really well in Big Brother 20. He would sort of drop nuggets of like, yeah, like I love this person, but like, you know, we're not like chatting about stuff. And the truth is he did love that person and he was chatting with them about it because you can't just like full out lie. If he was like, oh yeah, you know, if he's full out lying to LaToya, she's going to catch on eventually. If he's full out lying to Beth, she's going to catch on eventually. But I think the little nugget of truth in there, I don't have as much of a problem with it.
I definitely can see that. I think that the way that I've seen it, at least, is that Ty has not couched it in the same way that I would like it to be. Like, if he's telling Toya, like, hey, I'm, you know, I'm pretending with other people. He's not telling Toya, I'm not pretending with you. Like, he just was like, No. I don't care about people. Like, I'm here for the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. I would probably be like,
But to your credit, it hasn't bit him yet at all. So, those are just like the kinds of things that I noticed. Cause I know, and I've seen it in the past, people tend to remember those little statements. And then if there's any reason to distrust Ty in the future, they'll remember back like, oh, he said he pretends. Oh, like he said, he doesn't tell people. And then they might get a little paranoid. But we'll see. She says that look, our alliance is the strongest thing going in the house, clearly. And he's like, I completely agree. That's why we need to protect our people. And that is very much the, you know, the Cody Califfuri mantra, right? And so she says, people see LaToya as dangerous. That's great. We'll make sure she's protected. She'll be kind of like the, you know, the figurehead, the protector.
And the head of the snake.
Exactly. And they think and hope that it will be Josh that is leaving because they can't stand it.
Oh, poor Josh. I mean, like, you've been talking about this the past few days, but like, Josh is trying his best.
He hasn't done anything wrong.
I know. And like, they're like, oh my God, it's so brutal to talk to him. And yeah, he's a little clunky, but if you sit down and talk to him, like, yeah, he doesn't know how to walk into a room and like start a conversation in a way that's not a bit like, hello, I'm coming and sitting and talking to you. And yeah, he's using hugs as a little bit of a crutch to try to like connect with people, but he always asks before he does it. He's never in people's personal space in the way that they make it sound. There was a gnarly rumor going around about something that had happened the night before that people just jumped onto about him that they, you know, they're completely unfounded. Just like they really are looking for any little reason to put him down. And to the point that in the morning, Kiefer was having a conversation with him and Ty. And they were talking about like possible twists, and Kiefer was like, oh gosh, what if Julie and Josh come back as team captains? And Josh was like, I'm still here. I haven't been voted out yet. I don't even have a replacement nominee next to me. And Kiefer was like, oh yeah, I'm just kidding. And then later like went to the team and like bragged about the fact that he had in front of Josh been like, yeah, well, when you leave, and they're all laughing about it. And it was really cruel. I feel really bad for the guy.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where it's like, it doesn't, like, it's not really game related. And it's not that he's done anything wrong. It's just that he's awkward. And like, I get it. Some people just aren't great at conversations. They're hard to talk to. They're uncomfortable to be around because of that, because it's awkward. But you don't have to channel that energy into like furthering the, you know, the alienation and you know, and all of that, and cruelty.
I actually see him as like just a guy who's super comfortable with who he is, right? Like, he doesn't need to be walking in rooms grabbing a ton of attention. He doesn't need to be, you know, in with the cool kids. He can just chill. Like, he's fine just hanging out. And like, if I was in his position and I was like, you know, the plague basically to be around, like, don't let anyone see you talking to him. Otherwise you might get infected. And I was clearing out rooms. I would be like in tears. I would be having a horrible time. And he's just sort of like, it happens, you know, like he just seems like a chill guy who's comfortable with who he is. I feel like maybe he knew that it sort of might be like this, but he really wants to play and he's trying, and I'm rooting for Josh. Yeah. I don't know. I feel for him.
And I'll say this morning before the update, I did hear Kiefer talking to Toya. And Kiefer was like, you know, I've kind of noticed that I feel like it's getting out of hand with Josh, and good. I feel like people are being kind of cruel, and there's maybe like a bullying situation going on, and that was kind of a reason for them to vote him out. But at the very least, they seem to be recognizing it a little.
Yeah, Big Brother, gotta love it, you know.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, well, we have to talk about this if we're finishing up the conversation with Beth and Ty. I know you probably don't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about Beth and Ty and Beth and Jed and
I was going to wait for the Beth Cam talk because I feel like that queued it up.
Okay, cool. We'll wait.
Yeah. All right. So Beth and Ty were out by the hot tub having that conversation. People start coming in. And it's, you know, it's Kiefer, it's Toya, then Jed comes in, and all of a sudden it's five of the Sunsetters all by themselves having, an impromptu meeting. We haven't seen this before, and we're finally getting to see these players in action together discussing strategy. Kiefer lets them know that Ro and Kyle have approached him about an alliance. Now we know that they have been doing this. We know that they kind of planned on doing this. And he says, hey, this could be good because I can say yes, I can sort of influence them. And then, you know, we can make sure that I'm getting information and stuff. And LaToya kind of chimes in like, oh yeah, they approached me too. And they, you know, they're talking about, you know, all doing all this stuff. And Kiefer says, oh, that's interesting because Kyle told me that he thinks that you are working with Jed and Ty. And so like maybe they were just testing you or something. And Kiefer says, you know, would it be best for us to flip it now against Ro? Do you think if he's coming for you guys?
No, LaToya and Beth immediately. No, absolutely not. Kiefer. That's bad the idea. Dumbest idea I've ever heard. No.
Bad idea.
We hate Josh.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that. What should we do about Victoria then? Because she keeps approaching us about alliance. And what do? We can't trust her. She talks too much. And then Ty goes, has anyone thought about a scenario where we flip the vote and Josh stays? That's interesting. Yeah, let's. That's a good idea, Ty. What would that look like? What would that look like?
I mean, and that should tell you everything you need to know about the dynamics, right? If I was Kiefer, I would be like, okay, noted, you know? And I do think that Kiefer throughout the day after was really, really pushing this, trying to like squeeze every bit of influence he has out of these people. But, yeah, they were suddenly interested once Ty and Jed brought it up. And it's mostly because Ty and Jed both were like, that is so interesting that Rohan has and Kyle approached you, LaToya, and you, Kiefer, because they have never once talked game with us. And that is correctly identifying what Austin should be correctly identifying, because Ro, Kyle, Jed, and Ty hang out all the time. They're super friendly. They really get along. Like, I feel like after the season's over, we'll see them partying at clubs and stuff together. Like, they seem like they are good friends, but they don't talk game at all. So they're able to correctly identify, like, oh, these people are not on our side if they are not even willing to approach us at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that for Jed and Ty, it is imperative that they get out Rohan this week. I think that it will be a game setting move. I think that if they can make it happen, they are so much more locked into the six. They wield so much more control and influence over the house. I think that they really, really need to push it. And I think that for Kiefer, this is perhaps not the correct move. I think that for LaToya, this is not the correct move. I think that the move only benefits Jed and Ty, but I think that the others are so caught up in wanting to keep them safe that they don't see the benefit later down the road. I don't know. Let's talk this through.
Yeah, well, so I mean, immediately LaToya says, "Oh, well, I've actually already Ro asked me last night if I would vote for him to stay, and I told him yes that I gave him my word." So, look, I think this sounds like a great idea. You guys should go for it, but I can't vote him out. And like, excuse me.
I mean. That's the thing about LaToya, though, is she is so alpha. She is so my way or the highway. She said something, so she does, and she doesn't want to change her mind. She can't be convinced.
She doesn't lie.
Don't even try, you know? But this is something, you know, you're talking about Ty saying like, oh, I don't care about people. Oh, whatever. That's something people remember. This is something they will all remember. Forever.
Yeah, like, they were very frustrated because it's like, what do you mean you already gave your word? First of all, why are you giving your word so early? He's not even on the block yet. You haven't talked it through with us. Second, what do you mean you can't go back on your word? We're lying to people every day about the alliance. We all lied to Julie. We all told Julie we were going to vote to keep her, and then we didn't. What do you mean you can't go back on your word for the group? Like, what kind of team player are you?
Oh, my gosh. I would be really, really upset if I was in her alliance. That would be the biggest red flag to me ever. Because it's like, oh, so you're completely unwilling to make any sacrifices for the good of the group. But suddenly we have to do everything that you say when it benefits you. Like, we have to change our minds. What if some of us promised Julie our votes last week and you were the one pushing so hard and we did it for you? And yet it's Saturday and you're unwilling to change your mind about some guy who's not even on the block. Yeah, like what you just said, it would be, I mean, it's not good for LaToya that she did that. I don't know.
Yes. So she very much is like supportive of the idea at this time. She says like, well, yeah, we should make this happen. I just can't be one of the votes. We'll have to get other votes. And so they start talking about like, how would we do this? We'd all have to lie about our votes because we don't want to expose where we are. So if we all lie about it, then everyone will be confused. And then, you know, the blind side will go through. We'll all claim like, oh, what? Ty starts to say, well, hold on, though, like there are going to be some people that they won't believe will have voted Ro out. Like Kyle will obviously be a guarantee. You'll look Brayden. Like Brayden will be a guarantee. Like, are they going to believe Tara flipped? Like, who are they going to believe flipped? It's only going to be a few people and it's going to start to become obvious. So like, okay, maybe we can't lie. Well, let's table the idea for now. Let's try and figure out how we go about doing this. But we all definitely want Josh to stay because he's a great, we can just continue to throw him up on the block if we need to. And if we take Rohan out, we are crippling Kyle, who is very dangerous. And yes, we would like to get Kyle out, but we can't. So we're going to have to get Rohan out instead. And that's just the way I think we have to make it happen. And Ty's like, yeah, I think Ro has to go. We just need to figure out exactly how we're going to make it happen.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to talk this through about like what the move should be? Because in my mind, sorry, what were you going to say?
I think you kind of pointed it out earlier, like for Ty and Jed in particular, getting Ro out is great. Yes, you do have Josh. I do think that Josh could go after the guys. But again, as long as the teams are in place, they don't really need to worry about anybody coming after them. Even somebody like Josh. But they do have to worry about Kyle and Ro, especially because Kyle and Ro are trying to court their allies. And luckily for them, LaToya's not biting on that. LaToya's loyal. Kiefer's not biting on that. Kiefer's loyal. But we'll find out a little bit later. Tina is a self-interested player. That is dangerous for them. So that leaves them a little bit exposed, a little bit vulnerable. If they were able to take out Rohan here, it does put Kyle in a weird spot. It also means that all the people that Kyle is currently courting for votes and allies will have just betrayed him, and he'll be reeling, allyless, and he'll probably turn to the very people he was trying to get out, meaning the bros, for safety, mm-hmm. and they'd probably be able to pull Kyle in from there.
Exactly. It's the exact correct move for Jed and Ty. If they're going to do this as a group, what they need to do, if I'm in the group, this is what I'm telling everybody we need to do. Okay, well, we need to decide. We need to get a group meeting and we need to decide if this is what we want to do. And then I'm giving you marching orders. Beth is going to work on Austin and Brayden. Flip them.
Yeah.
LaToya is going to work on Tara. You know, like we're going to make this flip happen where everybody suddenly is, because they could get, you know, a house vote minus Kyle. They could easily do that. They're completely like the like hinky vote, like lying should be an absolute last resort when you literally can't make it happen. That should be your last resort. And they absolutely have the power and influence to do that. And unfortunately, there's just like no player like that. I think that the player would be Tina, but for Tina.
Yeah, she's gonna do that, but in the opposite direction a little bit later.
Exactly. Like Tina is the one who knows the game, who's self-interested, who is, you know, the Cody, the Derek of the Alliance, who says, okay, this is what we're gonna do. This is how we get a full house flip happening. But yeah, and also I think that Tina, which we will talk about later, Tina being self-interested is how LaToya should be thinking. Like, this is exactly how LaToya needs to be thinking, because yep. LaToya is the head of the snake right now. And I don't think that she understands sort of the gravity of the situation that she's in. But she's not thinking that way because she is loyal and she is protective. And I think that the problem with Big Brother players a lot of the time is that they get an alliance, they feel like they're a team, and they want to protect the team and they want to do what's best for the team rather than what's best for themselves. And when you're at the top of the alliance, you're able to be the one who decides what's best for the team, right? That's what you talked about all last season, was that Cody was able to be like, well, this is what's best for the alliance, when it was what was best for him. And there are people who want to be team players, who don't want to seem difficult, and who want to keep everybody safe. But LaToya has managed to make herself seem difficult because she's refusing to vote out Rohan, and also make the move that is incorrect for her today. Mm-hmm. So that's just my two cents on the whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny listening to them talk through, how do we make this happen? Like, we would need to force it. Like, what are the votes we can get? It would be like a 6-6, but Austin would break the tie in the wrong direction. Okay, we need to get 7 votes, or whatever it is, or we, you know, 6. I guess they would need 6 votes. And they're like, how? And we would lie here, and we would lie here. And it's so funny because, like, it's like they don't realize the power of mm-hmm. their own situation. It's like they yeah. are mimicking the dominant strategy of Big Brother without fully understanding what makes it so dominant. And that does not mean that they are not capable players, because mm-hmm. they are going to realize this. Like, and mm-hmm. that's part of what makes it such a great strategy, is that, you know, they get to talking and then they're like, wait a minute, I can probably just convince this person. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to make those kinds of moves. And like, the real way to counter this is not to cast dumber and dumber players. It's to cast smarter and smarter players who can actually oppose this kind of strategy, who can't mm-hmm. just be convinced by a majority that is secret. Mm-hmm. But yes, they clearly are not recognizing the amount of influence they have as a secret majority by, you know, if they split off and talk to their side alliances and convince them, then social pressure takes over. And they can basically make whatever they want happen. That's how these things work. But I'm sure they'll figure it out. But it was very funny to listen to them, you know, talk that through.
It's fun. It's fun when, I mean, we just watched a perfect game, right? We just watched mm-hmm. a perfect game, literally no flaws. It's fun to watch people sort of fumble their way around, like what the correct strategy is, because then you get to have these types of discussions about like what they can do, what they should be doing, like what their options are. I think that it's way more engaging Big Brother and way more exciting Big Brother, because you have a house full of really likable people. I'm not rooting against anyone yet. And you're sort of like, what are they going to do? Versus being like, they have to do this. Otherwise they're dead meat, like they're dead in the water. But it's sort of like, we're in a very flux stage of the game right now where a lot could go wrong for people and a lot could go right for people. And there's not one person who it's like, okay, well, pencil them in for the final three because they are just heads and tails above the other.
Yeah.
The others.
I think to some degree, it's a little bit of like a Stockholm syndrome though. Like, where we're like, we're so used to just like, you know, somebody's locked in a room and there's food in the middle and they're starving. And you're just like, well, obviously they're going to eat the food. But instead we've got somebody in there that's like, I'm starving. I don't know what to do. And you're like, the food, eat the food. It's right there. And then eventually they look around, they're like, oh, is this food? And then they eat it. And we're like, wow, that was so much more exciting than the first one. But like,
that's pathetic, Tara. Do not. Oh, my gosh.
What would be the most exciting is if there were two people in there who had to fight over the food. Right.
Of course. Of course. Very exciting. But look, you can't always get what you want. We're getting there, hopefully. I'm excited. The thing is, there's a lot of people in there who are capable of fighting over the food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of like, if they're going to bite, because believe it or not, I'm sort of into, you know, fake Kyle Moore, like being possibly opposition. Because
you.
I think that love real Kyle Moore. We played Among Us with him last night. But I also am not, I don't hate the fake Kyle Moore, because it seems like he's going to be a fun opposition. And if Rohan and him stay and they can wield a little bit of power, it should be exciting. I don't know. I'm obviously, everybody who watches Big Brother is into the two sides of it all. Like, that's what we want. That's what we're rooting for. So maybe we can get some of that this season. I hope.
We'll see.
People fighting over the food.
Yes. And I will say, like I'm with you. I very much enjoyed the day yesterday, especially once Tina started chiming in, which we will get to very mm-hmm. soon. So Kiefer and Ty are going to talk a little bit after the Sunsetter meeting. They think taking out Roe is the right move. Mm-hmm. They mention here now, and this was interesting, that that Beth was the last person brought into the alliance. It was a group of five people. It was Ty, Jed, Latoya, Tina, and Kiefer. They were a locked in alliance, and then they decided, let's bring in one more person, and they landed on Beth. Now, flash forward to just this morning before the update. Jed is claiming to Beth that he is the one who was like, hey, let's bring in Beth. And everyone else was a little bit skeptical, which kind of checks out given how Kiefer and Ty are talking about Beth. Ty mentions that he was a little bit concerned about Beth at first.
You can tell.
Yes.
You can tell she was the last minute addition because she doesn't fit in with them. And that's why I think I'm having like a bit of a reaction to Beth's game, and I'm a bit confused because it doesn't feel like it checks out. Like, I'm like, why is she in? Like, these people have a very strong vibe, and Beth has the exact opposite vibe. So in Big Brother, you're used to seeing people who have similar sort of personality styles working together. And it does check out that Beth was a last minute addition, and that Latoya might not be super into her, and that people might have problems with her. And because I can see it, you can see it when you're watching it.
Yeah. So Ty tells Kiefer that that both him and Toya were concerned about Beth. They agree, though, that it was the right call to bring her in. So this I've been trying to figure this out completely. This conversation between Ty and Toya a few days ago, where she said that she was concerned about Beth, and he said, I agree. There's just something there. I'm not sure. Was he just playing her in that moment? Was he trying to appease what she already believed, or was he being genuine? Definitely leaning a lot more toward the genuine skepticism there from Jed, or sorry, from Ty. on Beth, who he seems to be very skeptical of. Jed, on the other hand, seems to be actually the person who is more into Beth, and seems to be more trusting of her. And again, according to him, was the person who kind of vouched for her to bring her in, which is very interesting because she seems more into Ty, than Jed, but we'll see how long that lasts.
No comment.
Yeah. There. All right. We're almost there. So Kiefer says that he thinks Austin needs to go next. He's been pushing this. A few people in the Alliance agree, like Toya. We're not necessarily next for Toya, but soon for Toya. He says she's dangerous. She put him on the block. Ty says, yeah, that makes sense. And he says, you know what? You know what else? Actually, you just reminded me. Austin was talking to me the other day about trying to get Kyle involved in some kind of alliance with her. If he hooks up with her and Brayden, that would be really bad for us. This kind of like target on Austin it's not huge. There are definitely bigger targets in front of her, Brayden in particular. You know, there's definitely some danger here.
Yeah. And Kiefer, like I said, is trying to squeeze out every bit of influence he has. I feel like Kiefer yesterday was really feeling himself. He won the veto. He's feeling safe. He's feeling like he brought this information to his alliance that now they're using to possibly flip. He's like, see, guys, I'm valuable. Don't forget about me. Mm-hmm. I can do some stuff, too. And it's just really... it's fun, you know, it's just fun. Big Brother.
The dynamic with Kiefer in the group is very much like he feels the need to prove himself and they feel like he needs to prove himself. Mm-hmm. Like him winning the veto. It's interesting to notice. It's not like, hey, good job, bro. Like you killed it. There's some of that, but it's a lot of like, I'm really proud of you, Kiefer. I'm really proud of you for
child.
Doing it. Exactly. And like, there's nothing wrong with saying that you're proud of somebody, but I think that there's like a way that you can tell the prevalence that like, it's really everyone in the Alliance is using that exact mm-hmm. kind of phrasing. And I don't think like, I don't think that if Jed won the veto, people mm-hmm. would be like, Jed, I'm so proud of you. You really did such a great job. Exactly.
Right? It's a respect thing. It's what you it's your expectation. Like it's someone living up to your expectation of them. You look at Jed, you're like, okay, well, this guy's going to win every competition. He's super nice, handsome, sociable. He's going to be a great asset for me. You look at Kiefer and you're like, this guy is funny, sweet, wholesome, going to like, you know, just sort of like be led around by me. He's probably not going to do well in competitions, but he'll be loyal. So it'll be worth it. And then he brings information. He is very smart. He's trying to come up with strategy. He's winning competitions. And you're like, wow, Kiefer? And it's like, he's an adult man.
Yeah.
Who has like value outside of, I don't know, mm-hmm. you know, Big Brother.
Yes. So Toya goes to Tina and fills her in on this idea that there might be a flip happening. She says, well, here's the thing. They want to flip it on Rohan. And I agree with them. The only thing is that I already agreed to not vote Rohan. So I'm not going to do it. But it's probably going to happen, essentially. And Tina says, oh, well, that's I actually, you know, thinking about it, I talked to Rohan as well. And I feel like I also gave him my word. So I also don't feel comfortable going mm-hmm. against that. And Toya's like, oh, yeah, really? That makes sense. So she's like, yeah. And so we're thinking about this Rohan idea. That's interesting because, I mean, how do we feel about this? Because like, we're going to let Josh stay. I mean, man, Josh staying would be interesting. She basically does the thing where she's like very slowly feeling out. Can I convince LaToya to not want to do this? She starts slow. She builds as she sees that LaToya is receptive. She's like, yeah, I wonder just like, isn't Josh just such a wild card? Like, what would he even do if he won HOH? Would we even be able to talk to him? Would we be able to sway him? He'd be on such a power trip. And Toya's like, that's true. He is a wild card. And she's like, I just feel like, I don't know, my gut is telling me this is the wrong decision. And Toya's like, yeah, that's me too. My gut's telling me it's the wrong thing to do. I think it's best to keep I think it's best to get rid of Josh. I hate the guy. I don't want to be near him. I don't want him to be able to play this game anymore. You made some good points, Tina.
Also, LaToya is like, well, yeah, but I'm heavy in Rose corner. Like, if we're voting him out, like, all week, I'm going to be make it clear that I'm in Rose corner.
That was the plan. Yeah, she was going to, like, play up the most that, like, I am voting for Ro, campaigning for Ro. Ro is going to stay. He left? But I voted for him to stay. We're not going to see
that. Yeah. Thank God, because that would have probably just been a lot. Tina is awesome. I'm super excited about her. She is somebody who is not team focused and she is Tina focused. And I don't want to say it and then have her like crumble and the entire fandom be like sacrilegious. How could you ever compare her to this person? But she reminds me a bit in just vibe of like a Danielle Reyes, where you feel like she's so warm and like motherly and you just want to open up to her and you feel very safe to share your secrets and your feelings with her. You know, she's going to hear you out. She's got a very calm demeanor. She's very cool under pressure. And yet she is sitting there calculating every single move and what she needs to do to get to the end. And she's going to look at you and smile at you and say, yeah, I agree. Like, we should be doing this, while at the same time planning on how to take your legs out from under you. And I think that it's really exciting to get to see what she's going to do this season.
Yeah. So she shuts this down with LaToya, but everyone else is still pushing forward with this idea. They really want to make this flip happen at this point. Beth is going to go and talk to the cameras, our first real camera talk session of the season. And she says it would be sick if Ro left instead of Josh, because Ro hasn't talked game with her at all. The only thing is that Josh is just so brutal to hang out with, but she can deal with it. She'll just like limit him to a certain amount of time a day, like she tells other people. So she feels like her and Ty and her and Jed are both they're on the same page. LaToya thinks she's running the game right now, which is great. She feels she has a big LaToya has a big target on her, which is also great, because for as long as LaToya's here, Beth should hopefully be safe. She hopes that she can trust Tina. And so, like, while Tina's on one cam, like shutting down this idea for the flip, we're learning that Beth actually feels like Tina is her secret weapon in the Sunsetters. She says, I hope I've got Tina, because if I don't have a final two with Tina, then I'm screwed. I'm going to need Tina to the end of the game. She's the person that I need to rely on in this group. And since when? But I think this is partly a situation where, like, she feels like Tina has positioned herself in the spot. I've kind of been thinking about Derek in week two. And
that's the other thing I was going to say.
I talked about this on my stream last night, but like, I make comparisons and people freak out every time. But I'm not trying to say that Tina is Derek or even is anything like Derek. But I like to use past examples, especially ones that are very memorable, to compare to current examples, because it makes it easier to like contrast the situations
and root the gameplay.
Exactly.
That, I completely agree with you. I've been doing that all update.
Exactly.
I brought up like 17 past players and their moves, because it's easy to root the gameplay when you can recognize it.
Yes. And in week two, Derek was in a majority alliance that was very dysfunctional. And they wanted to make a big, crazy move and take out Zach. And Derek went around as an individual and shut it down. And he was, it's again, he was very subtle about it. Nobody even realized that it was Derek that was doing it, which is kind of what's happening here with Tina, as we'll talk about. But he very much convinced people that it was their idea to shut it down. And the point here is that he was in a position in that alliance where he was not the head of the alliance. he was kind of the older person in the Alliance at the time. He was one of the least threatening people in the Alliance. Everyone thought they could turn to him for advice, that he was non-threatening, and that he was somebody that they could use as a secret weapon in that Alliance. And it seems like Tina is in a somewhat similar position here, in that, you know, Beth is looking at Jed and Ty and LaToya, and they're these like physical specimens. And mm-hmm. they're like these very social, outgoing people who, you know, you take them to the end, you're like, what are you doing? They're obviously mm-hmm. going to beat you. She's looking at Kiefer and she's kind of just like, you know, Kiefer, he's great, but like, he's not like partner material, right? Mm-hmm. So she ends up looking at Tina as like the perfect mix. I can work really well with Tina, and I can, you know, bring her to the end and feel like I've got a shot at winning. And she's easy to work with. She's smart. She gives advice that's great. And she seems to be well situated within the house. Tina seems like the perfect partner. Meanwhile, Tina's like, I don't know about Beth, but Beth is like, Tina is my golden ticket. Tina is my lifeline in this game.
Well, that's the thing about the older subtype of player. You can either go one of two ways. You can either be a complete outcast, or you can Derek the situation. You can, you know, become Cliff the situation a little bit, where you become everybody's like parent and like everybody's comfort. And who doesn't want to work with somebody who they feel comfortable around, who can sort of be like they can turn to for advice, that they trust that their advice is sound? And Tina is, you know, her, the advice she's going to give is self-serving because she's a good player. And I think that it's really, I'm excited to see what she does, obviously, this season. But I think that I understand Beth's logic because I would be using the exact same logic,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. And I also think that Beth, during this conversation, like, I think a lot of the problems that Beth has with LaToya is that LaToya is, like I've said several times in this update, LaToya is the alpha. And I think that Beth maybe is rubbed a little bit the wrong way by that. But also I think that she's jealous of the position that she's in with the boys. I think that she probably is insecure about the fact that the boys would choose LaToya over her, which is why she's going around and telling people that the three of them might be working together. And I don't think that it's like coming from a place outside of game. Like, I think it's probably just like, I need these boys on my side because they're the best weapon that you can have right now in this early stage. But yeah.
Yes. So Beth also talks about how she was happy to hear Ty say that he has her to the end of the game. That made her feel good. She wants Kyle out. She feels like Kyle is a danger to her. So in that Sunsetter meeting minus Tina, they did, again, talk about Austin and targeting Austin. And Beth was kind of the only person to be like, well, I don't know, because, you know, I've kind of got Austin. She tells me things. And from my perspective at that time, I was like, Beth, chill. It's going to give them more incentive to take out Austin. Mm-hmm. But she says to herself, to the cameras, she's like, I like how I'm being honest with the six, that I can't lie to Austin right now. And then I don't want it to just be me that's fighting for Austin, but I'm being like a little bit honest. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Not the move. Yeah. Not the move. You need to make it. That's the thing about parachute alliances, is that even in a structure where parachute alliances are set up, like the Pretty Boys, you see someone like Sam getting too close with Adam and you're like, no. Like, people don't like parachute alliances that they think might become main alliances. And if you're weak to being vocal about the idea of someone going after Austin, who is HOH, who put one of your alliance members on the block, not great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beth does have a final two with Austin. It's obviously not a real one considering this cam talk. It's something that exists. She feels like Austin is valuable to her in the game because obviously she is.
So Taryn, I actually have a question for you. You know, you say like this final two is obviously not a real one, but if I was in Beth's position, I would be like, sure, final two, I'll break it. But if we get there, you would be an amazing final two, you know, sure. Like I feel like, you know, I don't think that she's willing to let go of her that easy. Hence she's.
When I say it's not a real one, I mean she has no intention of taking Austin like further than like fifth right now. It seems like her final two, as she said, the real one, the one that she wants to get to the end with, is mm-hmm. Tina. She also wants to get to the end with the guys to some degree. Mm-hmm. It seems like her plan is like, hey, get to final seven, backdoor LaToya. And keep Austin for final six. And then she's got like Austin and Tina and the guys. And then, you know, at some point, like Austin would get taken out. And so then maybe hopefully the guys would get taken out, and then she'd get to the end with Tina.
So this is my problem with game talks like this to the camera, where we're one person has left and we're talking about final six.
Well, yeah.
Because that just screams like Bad News Bears to me about Beth's gameplay, because if she's feeling so confident that she's like, okay, well, we're in this position, we're going to be at final six. I just think that with the Big Brother house, obviously you have to have a plan, like a bit of an end game plan, but you have to wait because there's so much that can happen and change up. And I don't know how I feel about, you know, one person's left and we're talking about backdooring LaToya at final seven. Like, what? Why is your mind there?
I feel like sometimes people are like a little too hard on people that talk about things that are this far in the future, just because like it's not like Beth is saying like, this is the game plan. Like, she's kind of like, in an ideal world, right? Like, mm-hmm. like this is what I would like to happen, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with like pre-planning. You know, like okay, you know, you have to make sure that you're looking forward to the future. For me, it's when people, because I hear what you're saying. It's when people mm-hmm. are like, no, this is the game plan, and anything that deviates from it is wrong, and we can't do mm-hmm. it. Like, no, we can't do this run right now. LaToya's supposed to get back to work at seven, not eight. What are you doing?
I also think it leads to blind spots when you're thinking mm-hmm. that far forward, and you're like, okay, well, we'll just get rid of X, Y, and Z. Like, this is what we'll do. I think that if you have that idea in your head from the beginning of the game, that this is the way that people are going to be with you, and this is your relationship, and it remains unchanging to you. Relationships are very malleable in the house, and it can lead to very strong blind spots where somebody who you in your head week two was like, okay, well, this is the person that I want in my final four, could be the one who backdoors you final eight, because you in your head have been like, well, this is the plan. Like, this is what I'm doing with this person. I just think that it can lead to large holes in your game and missing things.
For sure. I think a great example of what I'm talking about is Paris in season six, where like mm-hmm. every single week, like day to day, she talked to the cameras about her latest like scheme, her latest plan, like for the game, where it's like, well, this is going to happen here and these people are here. And she was completely wrong all the time. And like every day she'd completely change. Like it would be like, well, this is what's going to happen there. And like what she's really doing is just like thinking through like thoughts for the future. And it's not set in stone, and she is very willing to change up as things go on. And I feel like that is the case for most people, in these situations. Right. But there are definitely people who get too locked into specific plans. And those are the people I think that are, you know, the criticism very much stands. I do not personally think Beth is one of those people.
Okay. Well, that's good. I hope for her sake, she's not.
Yeah. So she says that she knows Ty and Jed will take each other to the end. She knows that. So, Tina is the only one who would pick her over anyone else in the six. She says that she needs to keep stringing Ty along. But she knows he doesn't want to show him. So she can only flirt at night. She'll flirt at night, keep him close. And she's like, you know, I'll flirt in the day. I'll flirt with Jed. And then at night I'll flirt with Ty. So I love that. She laughs to herself.
Yeah, I think Beth, The problem is that, well, okay. What I will say, there's a pandemic. Nobody's been around people. These are two of the most handsome people that I've ever seen on Big Brother. I get it, Beth. I get it. You are putting such a huge target on yourself, I feel like, by doing this. Like, it's just not the move, because these are guys who everybody wants a piece of them at this point. And if you are flirting with them, that is going to be more incentive for them to get you out of here. That is just my two cents.
Definitely possible. I think that right now she's not like super linked up with them, but I think that within, I don't think it helps her position within the Sunsetters, if that's what
agreed.
You're saying.
That's, yeah. That is what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, LaToya is going to have absolutely no patience for it.
Yeah.
She's not going to allow anything like that to happen on her watch with her boys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and I mean, the fact of the matter is, Beth has no path within the Sunsetters as of right now. I do not believe that she will be able to get in with the, unless she does start a full-blown showmance with one of them. And even then, who knows, you know, that we saw the pretty boys. That's not really a viable path for her. She doesn't realize it yet, but Tina is not exactly the best path for her either. She certainly could be, but she'll need to present it right. Certainly LaToya doesn't seem to be the best path for her. I think that Beth needs to be somebody that breaks off and breaks this group up at some point.
Agreed.
And I think that the idea that she can get in with Jed and Ty and the sort of like the pull that they have over her, or vice versa, the pull that she thinks she has over them, is going to entrap her into this group, until it's too late.
Exactly. And I think that Beth's best move is to wait till like final, like 9-ish and flip. And gather her little people. She's got Austin hardcore. She's got Kyle, Rohan, leave them in the game, like, and flip and go after, put up the two boys. That's the best thing that she can do. And sort of like be at the center of a flipped on the majority alliance.
As long as she's not too locked into that plan.
Yes. Everything changes my moment, Taryn. All right. I'm saying today, what is it? March 8th. That's what I think that her best plan is. All right. But yeah, I just think that I think my problem with Beth is that she's playing very, I think the reason maybe that I'm not responding to her in the way that maybe I should is that she's playing in a way that is counteractive to the person that she is, I believe. Maybe like this is not the type of gameplay that I was expecting from Beth, if that makes sense.
She definitely strikes me as a very flirty person. Like this is coming very natural to her. I think she's enjoying it a lot as
good
well.
Good for her. Good for her. Live your life, girl. Do your thing.
So apparently I believe this happened while the feeds were down. There was some kissing going on.
But now it's high.
Yes, with Who's Jed.
That was the thing. I was like, oh gosh. I don't know. It just feels like in a game like Big Brother, where you're trying your hardest not to be messy, like you want to try to be as clean as possible. Like this is just so messy. Like you're sleeping and cuddling with Ty. I've counted on the feet. She was alone with Ty for like a good chunk of time, like 5 times yesterday, like just those two hanging out. And then you hear that she is like kissing Jet.
It was like part of a game. They were like playing like never have I ever, like truth or dare kind of deal. Yeah. I feel like people did like read the headline of like made out with Jed during the day, cuddled with Ty at night. And they were like, it's the next coming of Allison from Big Brother 4.
If Beth can pull out an Allison, I'm here for it. I just think that it's just like very sort of like, oh, okay. Like we're being messy in here. Like that's fun, I guess, you know, sure. I'm into it, but I just needed to, I think that that's the thing. I wasn't expecting Beth to be messy like this. I thought that she was going to be like gamey. And this is perhaps gamey, but like this is like personal life messy, which, all right. As long as I know that's what to expect moving forward, let's do it, Beth. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see where it goes. All right. So Kiefer and Toya are going to talk a bit more. Toya, freshly convinced not to do the flip from Tina, is going to say, this is, we shouldn't do the flip. Josh is too dangerous. I feel more comfortable with Ro and Kyle than I do with Josh. Kiefer pushes back. He says, Ro and Kyle are targeting you. And she says, me? Why me? And he's like, they think that you're working with Ty and Jed, and that's what they've been saying. And you know what? Austin has been saying that as well. Austin is one of the people saying that. She's, why is this happening? And Tina comes in and joins the debate and pushes back again. It's like Kyle and Ro aren't that dangerous. We don't need to worry about Kyle. Josh is the danger. Josh is the one who knocks. This is still going on, this back and forth. And Toya is like, every person she talks to, she gets flipped back again. But Tina keeps doing the most lasting damage there in terms of Toya's opinion. So Tina stays back, talks to Toya after this conversation. She says, the best move is to keep Ro, and that's what's best for our game. What's best for the boys is for Ro to go. But we shouldn't be playing their game. We should be playing our game. And I love hearing this from Tina. It's actually not the right argument for Toya, because Toya has not really shown that she is very self-interested when it comes to her own game, and that she's
team-based,
playing
right?
for the team. But very good to hear in terms of understanding where Tina is coming from. And Tina even lets it slip here. She says, look, and if we keep one power duo and they go after the other power duo, that's only good for us. And if it was unclear which power duo you thought she was talking about, she specifically name drops Ty and Jed in the next sentence. I don't think Toya caught the meaning of this, which I do think is good for Tina at this point. But it definitely gives you a sense of where Tina's head is at when it comes to where she is in the power structure. Everything that I talked about with Toya yesterday, that she had an opportunity to take, this Kyle and Ro offer and kind of be the center of everything in the house. Tina was also there, and Tina is thinking, yeah, I like this. I would love to take this offer. I would love to have Kyle and Ro on one side and Jed and Ty on the other. That sounds great to me. I would like more. And I like that she's thinking this way, and I like that she's willing to fight to obtain it. She's not playing safe. She's saying, this is an opportunity to seize power in this game, and I'm not going to let it slip. And she's fighting for it.
She's fun. I'm into it. Good times.
Yeah. Toya leaves this conversation. Tina's just sitting there like, it's very fun. It's very fun.
it's such fun, babe brother. Like, it's great. It's why we watch, right? It makes me smile. You know, I'm just like into it. You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Kiefer and Josh are going to talk a little bit. Kiefer now kind of feeling like, hey, we might keep Josh. They're going to bond a little bit. Josh says that he wouldn't put Kiefer up if he won. It actually, you know, if Kiefer does have a decent thing going with Josh, it could go either way. Kiefer, maybe it is good for Kiefer to keep Josh, and he's certainly trying. We're going to get the ball pit reveal. The have not room, just a massive ball pit. The big thing that everyone was talking about with this is that this very much contrasting sort of images of Victoria, who's just like, yeah, ball pit, and Toya, who's just kind of like, all right.
It's like the perfect examples of them as human beings. It's amazing. Honestly, okay, you are in the Big Brother house. Your have not room is a ball pit. How do you react?
It depends on who I am in that game. Like what's my position? What's my personality?
Taryn, you as Taryn.
But am I Taryn that people know as the strategy head and I'm like trying to be serious?
No, I'm talking about like you as you are as a human
you're talking
being.
About I'm playing a game. This is playing
oh
a game.
Gosh.
I'm going to be calculating.
No, I mean it as
Then what you need to do is say, hey, you, Taryn, go to Chuck E. Cheese and have to stay the night. Are you sleeping in the ball pit?
No, you have to sleep in the ball pit. You're a have not. You have to sleep in the ball pit. What do you do? And you can give one game answer and one personal answer.
See, I thought you were asking, am I having fun in the ball pit or am I the Toya? But you're asking for strategy of how to sleep in a ball pit.
No, I'm asking the first question and now you've made it weird. I thought it was going to be a light, fun question and now you've like gamed it to death.
Maybe if you ask the question better, we'd be in a good place.
Taryn, if you were living in a house and you were forced to sleep in a ball pit, what would your personal emotional reaction be?
My emotional reaction to sleeping in a ball pit.
Yes.
My emotional reaction, I don't know. I'd have to figure it out. I'd have to test it and see how I thought, you know?
All right. Let's move on from this conversation.
I've never experienced sleeping in a ball pit. If I lay down in a ball pit and I'm like, hey, this is nice, then I'd have a good emotional reaction. If I laid down in a ball pit and I sunk to the bottom and I was crushed by a bunch of balls and couldn't breathe, then I'd be like, you know, my emotional reaction here is not great.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
This is probably the most enlightening conversation of the update, I think.
For sure. Yeah. People are gonna wanted your hot take on the ball pit, so I'm glad I got it out of you. I tried really hard, guys.
Don't get crushed by balls. Ro and Jed are going to talk, Ro is going to tell Jed that, hey, just to give you a little bit of a heads up here, Josh is saying that, that you should go on the block instead of me. Josh is saying you're juicier target. It would be better for him if you went up on the block. Isn't that weird, Jed?
Mm-hmm.
And Jed is like, yeah, that's weird. I don't like that.
Go row. You know, I like, of course, the idea of a vote flip is super fun, but I don't want to lose Rohan. I like him so much. I like him and Kyle. I like the opposition thing. I think that they're fun. I think that he has ability. I do think that if Josh stays, it's just going to be like Groundhog Day with him. I think that he'll end up as a permanent pawn because he'll be able to have absolutely no social currency in the game. Whereas I think Rohan can, you know, get himself into a position if he can figure it out, where he can maybe have a little bit of footing, and Josh is just never going to get there. So I like seeing that from Rohan. I like Rohan.
And this is going to be pretty important as well. This matters to Jed. And we're going to hear about it a little bit later. Beth is going to talk with Austin about the possibility of taking out Ro instead of Josh. And Austin is open to it. Pretty much what we've learned is that Austin will essentially do anything as long as it's not like going against like Brayden or something.
Yeah, which is why if I were Beth, I would be looking at, okay, let me get Austin in my little grouping of people when it's time for us to move over, because Austin is the perfect person for someone like Beth to have a final two with and be loyal to it.
And she certainly would like to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in the same way that Austin feels like she can hopefully get Brayden involved in her thing, right? Toya is going to talk with Jed. They talk through the vote some more. She thinks that Ro shouldn't go. And then Jed is like, yeah, but what about the fact that Ro is with Kyle, and aren't you worried about Kyle? Like, they're gonna put us up. And she kind of comes back around, like, okay, maybe. And he kind of, you know, talks about like And we don't like that you're saying that you can't vote this way. It feels like you're not being part of the group. You're not being a team player. She apologized. She said, you know what? I did make that promise too early. I shouldn't have done that. And I'm willing to go with you guys and vote Ro out. Toya then talks to Tina again. She's like, but talk to Jed, and he still really wants Ro to go. And I'm kind of feeling like, maybe we should, I don't want to be like not a team player or anything. And Tina's we can't. Don't you think that it would be bad to vote Ro out when we've got Josh here? Like, this is not okay. Josh should go. Ro should not go. I'm not going to be dictated to in this. They didn't even have a discussion with me. And Toya's like, yeah, that's right. They didn't even have a discussion with you. That's not very nice. We're back to like, okay, Toya is now firmly in the camp of Josh needs to go. She goes and talks to Ty, who says, look, I don't want Ro to go. Yeah, I want Kyle to go before Ro. I don't think this flip should happen. I think it should be a discussion. Beth went right up to Tina and said, hey, we're flipping now. Like, that's not okay. That's not a discussion. That's not a good look. And Ty's like, yeah, that's true. That's not a good look. But I also didn't like that you were saying that you couldn't vote Ro. And so she apologizes for that. And Ty is pushing back quite a bit as well. He seems to really want to do the Ro flip. There's a little bit of tension here between the two of them, and they don't really come to a conclusion.
You know what I've realized over the course of this update is that, like, I came in, I think, thinking one thing about LaToya, and then we talked through the entire day, and now I think a little differently about LaToya. And it's that if you know how to deal with LaToya, she's super easy. Because Tina knows how to talk to her. Tina knows what to appeal to in her. Mm-hmm. She knows what buttons to push. And she can be swayed. Like, I came in here thinking that, like, LaToya is very decisive. She does what she wants to do. Nobody's going to tell her anything else. And yeah, you can't tell her, you know, what to do. But that's the button that, you know, Tina's pushing on her. She's like, well, they just told me what to do. Isn't that ridiculous? And she's like, yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, she is actually just in the course of us talking, I feel like she's a fairly easy read. And I wonder if, you know, after, you know, 12 days in a house with her, she might be easy to sort of maneuver.
I think her biggest weakness in the game is her team focus, which makes it, because she is, I think, a very decisive person. I think that she is everything that, you know, I think you came into the update feeling about her. But I think that the thing that is dragging her down is that she's trying to focus too much on the team as a whole, which is causing her motivations to become conflicted. And that's pushing her back and forth. And you've got like Tina, who is trying to appeal to her self-interest, and when that's not working, having to appeal to like other things. And then you have Ty and Jed trying to appeal to her team interest. So there's a lot of like conflicting things going on.
Yeah, it's just she's great casting. She's super fun to watch. So I know I said like people are fun like 17 times, but I'm having fun. I don't know if you could tell. Yeah.
Tina's also going to work on Kiefer later. She is talking about, she says, look, Ro and Kyle are workable. Like, Ro and Kyle, if one of them win, like, we can get in their ear. They approached you about an alliance. You can get in their ear. We can talk to them. We can't talk to Josh. He's a wild card. He'll do whatever he wants. That is the real danger here. And Kiefer, you know what? That's fair. That's fair. I'll think about it.
And she's appealing to the thing in Kiefer that I think you need to appeal to in him, where it's like, you could be the one who's talking to them. Like, you could be our guy if we keep Kyle and Ro around. Like, you could save the team if we keep them around, which I think is the right argument to make with someone like Kiefer.
Well, that's what I was confused that Kiefer wanted to make the play in the first place, because this was an opportunity for him to be in with another crew. But I think he was just excited about making a move and having information to provide value.
Being valuable.
Yeah. Toya and Beth are also going to talk. Toya tells Beth that she's really feeling like they should go the safe route this week. And Beth says, you know what? I kind of agree. We can go after Ro and Kyle next week. And so that's kind of how the night ends. Cut to this morning. We'll obviously talk in a little bit more detail tomorrow. But Beth had a talk with Jed this morning where they both kind of at the same time were like, have you been thinking we maybe shouldn't do this? Oh, you too? Oh, okay. We shouldn't do this. Beth confirmed it with Tina, who's like, I always thought it was a bad idea. Yeah, I think this is the right move to not do it. We got to play it safe. And even Kiefer is now, talking with Toya saying, I you know, he seems to have been swayed by Tina last night. I don't know if we should do this. Josh should probably go. I've been feeling uncomfortable with the situation with Josh anyway. It's probably best for everyone. And so it seems like as of right now, the flip is dead. Tina has won.
Great. But it's only March 8th at 12:24. Who knows what could happen later in the week?
Yeah, Ro still isn't even on the block yet.
Yeah, can't forget about that. What if Austin just pulled like a crazy move and put up Jed? Tara got in her ear and suddenly she puts up Jed.
Yeah. All right, that's what we have for you today. A bit of a long one, but again, we are still kind of trying to figure out who the players are and exactly where the house stands and where will it go. Definitely curious to see if there continues to be a bit of a power struggle between Tina and the bros here. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm loving the season so far. I like was getting giddy in my apartment about Big Brother being back, and I'm just pumped to see what happens.
Yes,
all right. I like everyone, which is always fun.
So that's what we have for you. We'll be back tonight when we go live after the episode. Rob will be joining us. It'll be very fun. We'll talk about everything that happens on this episode. Hopefully we get some more information about like the start of the Sunsetters Alliance. Ideally, we would also get a little bit more from Julie and Josh from last week, as well as kind of move the story forward here. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. Of course, tomorrow I'll be live at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. And tomorrow night, we will have the first roundtable of the season. We'll kind of try to summarize everything that we know to that point. We'll do the stock watch. We'll rate all of the players on how we think they are doing in the game. And that'll be very fun. Then you can buy and sell stocks in the players like they're GameStop.
Yeah, we'll be some Wall Street bets over here in the RHAP community. Good times.
All right. You can, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We were just playing Among Us last night with lots of murdering and lying. I'm also going to be live throughout the week talking about the feeds through the day talking about the stock watch later in the week. So lots of fun stuff going on there. Maggie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @_MLMorgan and on Instagram at @MLMorgan_. Excited to tweet about the rest of the season. So,
there you go. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. See you next time.